episode 30, actually. I was just looking at that, Winnie. Digital advertising episode number 30.
Number 30.
That is crazy. How are you, Winnie?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm good. What's up, people? It's a little bit different from what we're normally doing, but we're testing out this really cool podcasting company and platform called Riverside.fm. So Winnie and I right now are in the same building, but we are different rooms, and we're going to talk today and enlighten you on a couple things, but figured we'll see how Riverside is and show you our pretty faces, as well as enlighten you again with some amazing digital marketing news and content. But yeah, it's October 19th at 10:26 in the morning. It finally feels like fall. It feels like the actual, I guess, way it should be in October. So I'm excited for some fall activities coming up in Halloween. Winnie, you told me you're putting your Christmas tree up.
Yes, I am putting all of my Christmas decorations up on October 31st.
no Halloween stuff for Winnie. We're going straight into Christmas.
Straight to Christmas, yes. But Christmas decorations have been out since, I want to say it's been like right after Valentine's Day, they started putting Christmas decorations out. So I feel like if I don't put it up by then, I'm already going to be, you know, behind the ball. So
it's true. I bet. And like Walmart and Target, they're like, they love you, you know?
Yes.
It's like that stuff, to your point. Yeah, it's been up for a minute now. You know, we probably get over to one of those stores and get some discount Halloween stuff for our office for the next like 10 days, basically.
Yes.
Winnie, how's life been?
Life has been amazing. The weather is nice. It transitioned. It's been really good. How about you? You're celebrating something special today. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. Yeah. 1,000 days sober.
Yay.
Thank you. Winnie's done, gone in above and beyond. She like hooked it up just now in the office, got some amazing donuts and balloons and a card. And, it was honestly like the best feeling in the world in regards to like, just like, I don't know. It was like I haven't had a birthday like that felt that good in a long time, you know, or like a day. So something that's like genuine shock and surprise. Shock and surprise. So thank you, Winnie. That was so sweet of you, and it means a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to post the reaction of me, because I genuinely was just like, did not expect that. Sydney, our social media director, handled it so well. Like she was like, and I talk, obviously, but she like had me going, man. And so I was like on one or not coming around the corner and just, yeah, everybody from the office there. No, man, thank you. So 1,000 days sober from alcohol. So if I can do it, anybody can do it. Literally, I truly believe that. And there's no shame in getting help or, again, talking to somebody. So if you ever need any you know, shoulder to cry on or talk to, holler at me, please. But thank you, Winnie. Seriously.
You're welcome.
So we wanted to jump on here. We're on episode number 30. We were like trying to figure out different, you know, topics to catch up with. We've been so busy at our agency. Winnie literally is crushing it right now, working on different RFPs. So, you know, maybe we dive just a little bit into like these, not the RFPs, but maybe like what an RFP is, Winnie, and then like just like enlighten our listeners if they are in a marketing agency setting, like what kind of an RFP is for our agency.
So RFPs are requests for proposals. There's different type of contracts that come through. It can be an RFI, which is a request for information. It could be a RFP, which is a request for a proposal. But there are different entities that open up, and they have the opportunity, whether it's privately funded, federally funded, state funded, to open you up to have long-lasting relationships that provide them with strategy for growth. So RFPs really open up to give us the space to create a long-lasting relationship and set expectation up front. Really important for agencies to do it, because not only does it lock in your relationship, but it gives you the flexibility to grow with technology within that relationship. So we're diving in deep to as an agency to make sure that we not only provide the best service to our consumers and businesses locally, but, you know, statewide, federally, we go ahead and provide that same service for them. So that's what RFPs are.
Yeah, no, thank you, Winnie. I think it's so important. Again, if you work in a marketing agency, or even if you are on like the brand side, and when I say brand side on an RFP, I guess you could literally look at from a standpoint of, we work with a lot of universities. So these marketing directors, if you're putting out an RFP, I think, again, it's so important to kind of understand what an RFP even stands for. So to your point, you just kind of covered that. But also just, I think it's evolved a lot too, especially in like the almost decade I've been in this industry. And I think obviously, from a digital marketing perspective, digital marketing is the wild, wild west and changes so fast. So these procurement teams and people have had to like try to figure out how to like kind of keep up with that. And it's kind of maybe been a negative for a lot of digital agencies like ourselves. But I think now it's becoming more and more of a positive, because you have individuals that know this space. They again work in this space. I actually remember a campaign we did with the South Carolina DMV, and it was one of the coolest campaigns and best campaigns we've done. But I remember them sitting us down in front of their like board, and then just grilling us on just these like, how, what if somebody hacks us or this? And it was just, you know, older generation not necessarily understanding this technology. And again, nothing against the older generation. It was just being able to have to like allow them to digest this for us to have this opportunity to win the business. And I think with RFPs, as they've evolved, it's cool to see that we can do that a little bit more, but also, you know, just the strategy, there's more strategy, I guess, getting put into them.
Yes, it is. And then it's helping everyone create the space that they excel in the most. Before, like you said, there's been great evolution for RFPs, and before, you know, businesses and entities had to figure out internally how to succeed in the digital space. And there wasn't much room for agencies like us to even come in and strategize and prove performance. But now, you know, that space is carved out where the experts can be the experts and the results can be delivered. So we have that opportunity, and that's what we're diving into.
Heck yeah. No, well said. So yeah, again, you're listening to the podcast and you want to learn a little bit more about RFPs and kind of how that works, or if you're trying to put together an RFP right now for your company, holler at Winnie.
Yes.
All right. So since we are on Riverside and we're live, it's like we're just transitioning. Like, this is like a real show. It's putting a lot of pressure on us right now to do it, which is actually, I like it. So I want to kind of dive into, this is something I was just talking to Winnie about, and I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about this, but I feel like from a standpoint of, we are involved in social media, we're involved in digital marketing and media, and so this is something that is just all over the world right now in our screens. So like I said, it's Thursday, October 19th, and like, if you are paying attention to the world, the Middle East is a powder keg in a way right now. And I don't want to dive into any sides, political things, religious beliefs, or anything like that. I just want to simply look at the standpoint of, we live in a world now that is so fast paced. And you think of different generations and going through different periods of life and how you consume your media. And so nowadays, we literally live now within your Twitters or your X's, your Instagrams, your TikToks. And just one of the things I've like, it's, and again, I'm sure people have obviously seen this and noticed this, but just one thing that's been a stark realization to me is like the brutalness of live streamed war and war zones, and the way that now, prior to the past, it's being consumed. Like, I follow war reporters on Twitter, and these guys are literally in the front lines, and they're literally like taking videos of rockets and things happening, and then they can post that to the world in real time, and people are getting this information and they are digesting it, whether it's positive or negative. As if you've been paying attention, again, people right now are really formulating their own opinions on certain events happening based on this conflict and propaganda, artificial intelligence. When we were talking about that, things that are just getting placed, I guess, within our lives are now being placed in wars, or not placed in war zones, but it's just taking part in a war zone. I mean, these are cities, these are people, they have technology, and Yeah, I just I wanted to kind of bring that up because it is a frontier. It's like a newer frontier for us all. Obviously, it's like you think of our grandparents and their generation before that, whether it's those different conflicts of World War II or Vietnam or whatever it may be. And you think of the documentaries that are out now, and it's like you've got World War II in color on Netflix, and you've got Vietnam in color on Netflix. And it's like, this shit is in 1080p right here. And I don't know. It's just, what will this do to us as a society from a standpoint of numbing us to things or how we believe? But doesn't sit well with me seeing body parts as I scroll through a social media feed. And what does that do to me personally? Like, what does that do to me as a father, as a human being? And maybe that the negative of that is the positive, that it is showing the just brutality of war, regardless of where war is being taken place, because this world is fucked up and there's a lot of fucked up things happening across the world that people don't have their eyes on like this. And so this technology is going to unlock a lot of doors for that. So maybe that is the silver lining. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that. I just kind of wanted to bring that up. I know, you know, Winnie, we were talking about it before, but you know, it's just like the harsh reality of like where we live right now or what we're living.
Yeah. And for years, we have consumed media in so many different ways. And we just didn't identify it. The more we become aware of it, the more it evolves, the more that it gets better over time, the more aware we are of how we consume and what we consume. I mean, we can think about video games. When we were younger, playing video games, because it wasn't reality, it was fun for us. It's a whole nother world, you know, that we didn't really have access to. And now with the live streaming of war zones or, you know, more violent situations or occurrences, we're at a place now of having to make the decision if we really want to live in a place that used to be artificial to us and now is forcing us to be reality. Because if you look at it and compare it to games like Call of Duty, I think that's the name of the game.
You're on fire right now. No, you're great. I play these. I've played that. Yes. Yeah, keep going.
So you look at those games and it was exhilarating. You know, from my understanding of what I've seen, and I've never played this game, y'all, I've only seen the commercials. And when I saw the commercials, I said, I cannot believe that children are gravitating to games like this, where realistically, it looks like when you shoot someone, there's blood.
Yeah.
And now, you know, what used to be an artificial realm is now being made or force fed as reality. When we chose to consume media in post-production through the news, or, you know, we talked about X earlier. We consume our news through Twitter. We follow the pages we want to follow to control the news that we want to get. And now with the way that digital is working and how that is being translated, it's almost like not giving us that option. One thing that I love about international lines is us being in the United States, we've always had the protection of what we consume. You've never seen on the news what you see now online. And if you did see it online, it's because you went after it and you looked for it. And now that this is streaming, you're not looking for it. It's being fed to you.
Totally. Yeah.
So
very well said.
I do think that, it's really going to put people in a very compassionate place to say, okay, hey, hold on, we shouldn't be doing this. And I'm looking forward to the limitations and the stipulations and the laws that are going to be developed for that, so it doesn't cross lines. Because you also have to consider, you know, the parents of the people that are over there fighting, if they are our troops, you know, or whoever they are, you know, they have parents or they have children or they have family. And you have to consider preserving that space and protecting them in that space while they signed up to serve whatever country. But if it's out there and it's a terrorist attack, you still have to maintain people's mind to preserve their positive energy and how they think and how they process. I look at a lot of things that happen and I look at the full ecosystem of it. And this right here reminds me of the ecosystem of what happened during COVID. Like, it definitely fueled the medical world. Everybody was studying. Everyone was getting medicine. Everybody's getting tested. So every medical facility whether it was federally funded or not, was on fire when it came to revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks the same way now. You know how many people watching that are going to have to go to therapy? You should go to therapy. Therapy is great.
It is great. Yeah.
Go to therapy for what you control and consume, not what someone is force feeding you. So, you know, to sum it all up, we consume media every day. And while you do still have, you have your choice of what to consume, make the decision to not be force fed for things like that.
Straight
you know,
up.
Because that stuff is sick.
Yep.
It really is. Yeah. And I've only seen 5 seconds of it and made the decision that I'm definitely not going to watch that. I don't even watch the regular news because I don't like to hear negative things. Mm-hmm. Every day is amazing for me. If you haven't met me yet,
true.
Every day is amazing. I don't have a bad day. Everything is amazing. So I'm going to keep that.
I love it.
And that's how I protect my space. So that's my input on that.
No, thank you. No. And again, we don't have to keep going into it, but that was very well said. Again, from a world of just now, when you made such a great point of just make sure that you consume, consume a lot, but consume and make your own opinion on things and don't just believe in one thing. But, you know, from a standpoint of the rules and regulations, I think we're in for a wild ride in regards to tech companies and censorship and all of that, just because of how, you know, again, our country is built, other countries are built. But yeah, I think that America is at least seeing a lot of things that we've never seen before because of our shell that we live in here in a way. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, though, but yeah.
And one thing I'll say on the heels of that is in controlling what you consume and controlling what you put, you know, what you translate. I love agencies like ours because the best thing to translate is your story. And we do that very well, exceptionally well, taking someone's story and their vision and their goals. And we translate that in a way that's beneficial to your target audience. So if you need that, which you do, definitely contact us. All the information will be, you know, attached to the podcast notes. But translate your story. Don't let someone else create your storyline for you.
Yeah. Well, listen, on that note, go give us a follow. We're going to put this, maybe figure out, we'll see if this video goes somewhere in the interwebs, but definitely go give us a follow on the socials where you get your podcasts. Again, I can't believe we've done 30 of these over the last, you know, year, but we are humming along and I have so much fun doing this with you, Winnie, and our super producer, Connor, who's behind the scenes right now. But yeah, Riverside, we're going to give you this free plug right now. We're testing this out and it's so far been really, really great. So we'll post this content as soon as it's up. And again, thank you all for listening.